This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Oh my God. I just feel like I am so full. I don't know what else I can do. A healthy and hearty holiday weekend to everyone. And whether or not it was a holiday or a happy Thursday or just a regular Thursday, I hope that all of you had a wonderful day. We are here for the wake-up call, our version of car chat, I think is what we decided to avoid any copyright issues. Let's see. We have our friends, Rusty Simpre. Rusty, how are you?
Doing good, Rick, and you?
Doing well. Is that little button in the middle where it's supposed to be?
Yes.
Thank you. For those of you who don't know what in the world I'm talking about, just a little technological issue here at WNRN today. And our friend, Steve Bullock. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
All right, we're going to have to work on that. You guys are going to have to squeeze together, lower the aura, move that microphone right in the middle. And Steve, lean forward when it's your time to chat.
All right.
Nope, that ain't doing it either. Steve Bullock from Edgecombe's Auto Sales and Service. You're going to have to leave much
how about
closer.
This? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right. Hey, how y'all doing?
All right. Car chat today, an annual program that we try and put together where we have couple folks, Rusty Simpre and Steve Bullock, come in and talk about car issues. Feel free to dial us up throughout the hour, ask your question to these gentlemen. Rusty from Price Hyundai Isuzu, Steve from Edgecombe's Auto, and their specialty is Volvo and Subaru, correct?
Volvo, Subaru, and most Asian imports. And we've been doing a little more domestic stuff here lately.
A little more domestic stuff?
Yeah. We just, because business has been so slow for everybody, we've just been opening up to different things.
Now, see, this is what I want. Sean, I want Steve to talk into that side.
All right.
And you guys can swing it back and forth as needed.
Okay.
There you go. That is so wonderful. Now everyone can hear the deep, sexy voice of Steve Bullock from Edgecombe's Auto.
Yeah, we started doing state inspections last year, too, so we can't really refuse anybody anymore. We check out just about everything. We're only limited by weight class, so we can't do, like, tractor trailers or anything like that. But since we've been doing that, we've been getting a lot more customers in on that, and that's helped our business out a lot.
Excellent. Which means that just about anyone who's listening, whether you're in the local area, maybe you're driving somewhere along the road, and it's the toll-free number is 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Rusty, what's that cell phone number?
Star NRN, anywhere from your Intellos wireless phone.
Thank you. You have such a nice DJ voice. You should check into that. Maybe you're in one of the outer reaches, the Harrisonburg 95.1, the Lovingston 94.7, Lexington, Lynchburg, Richmond. Dial us up throughout the hour. Ask your question. Tell us what your car and model is, what your problem is. Rusty and Steve will do their best to answer the question for you today. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. It is raining, so maybe if you're just sitting at home at your computer, WNRN Studio will get your question in online. I do have the computer monitor right next to me. I always like to start with this question because we almost always end up doing this program in late fall, colder temperatures, is prepping your car for colder weather. One of the things that we always get told is start your car up and let it run for a little while before you get into it and start driving. So that's a two-part question. One, is that really necessary? And what other things need to be done to prepare your car for the upcoming freezing cold temperatures?
Well, one of the things, starting the car up is a good idea because just getting it and taking off cold, it's not the engine is, the oil is still cold. And it takes a little while for that to get all to all the moving parts in the car, even though it does have an oil pump in there that does move it through. Sometimes older cars, you'll hear them rattling and stuff like that. It's a good idea to just, you know, let the car warm up for at least, you know, 2-3 minutes at the minimum, especially when it's, you know, getting below 40 degrees. It also helps getting all the coolant and everything, all the emissions and everything starting to work right. The other thing is, too, is that you need to check all the things that deal with the cooling system, making sure that it's got enough, you know, coolant in it and not all water. Because if you've got more water in there, it can freeze and that can crack the radiator, crack the block, all kinds of stuff like that. That's easy enough to do. Most service stations, you know, dealers, all this stuff out there, they have a what they call a hydrometer for testing that stuff.
How much does that cost me?
We do it with, right now, we do it, we've got a winterization package, but we usually, I do it myself anyway when we have an oil change in the shop, just to let the customer know. That way, you know, if there's any issues there, I can say, hey, look, you know, we recommend that you go ahead and flush the system out and put new coolant in it and get the balance right. You know, it's just one of those things that, you know, about this time of year and when it starts getting really hot, I start really checking it because you just want to be sure that, you know, you don't want the customer having a problem later down the road. And, you know, some people, they don't think, you know, they don't check that stuff.
So how much is your special, he asked?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have any clue. You'd have to call them. I don't keep track of prices up there. I just work on them.
So the price, but if you're talking about what you pay for it to do it, obviously the damage, if you don't do it, could be a lot greater.
Right. I don't think the test alone is next to nothing, but yeah, is that flushing the cooling system and all? I mean, antifreeze, what is that? $11-$12 a gallon now.
How long does?
I think that's about right.
Antifreeze.
How long does
couple gallons
antifreeze
last? And about probably.
I mean, is antifreeze based on mileage?
$50 labor.
Years. And if I put antifreeze in my car in November of last year, because you recommended it,
you should be fine this year.
Because it's based on months or years, not based on mileage.
It's based on what your hydrometer tells you it's good to, and how muddy and nasty it looks. Because it the cooling system will pick up debris. Cooling system has water mixed with antifreeze. The water causes some aluminum, some of the cast iron, to develop some rust inside of it, of course, especially cars that aren't driven every day or warmed up properly in cold weather when you start to go. So this rust buildup will actually break down the antifreeze and start to, that's why your radiator, you look in there and it's got corrosion, this white chalky corrosion that's from, you know, not keeping it flushed out and keeping quality, up-to-date antifreeze in it, you know. So,
all right, Rusty Simpre here from Hyundai Isuzu.
We usually recommend it about every 30,000 miles as far as flushing it out.
Steve Bullock from Edgecombs Auto Sales and Service. Feel free to dial us up with your question, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks is the toll-free number. Sean is out front taking calls today, or the WNRN studio instant message. In fact, that's where a question comes from now. I ran over a skunk and my car smells bad. I'm embarrassed. Any suggestions to make the smell go away?
Unfortunately, there's not too much you can do with it. Oh God, it's a terrible smell. I've done it more than once. Try and find some sort of a disinfectant and get somebody with a pressure washer to go after it, and I'd keep a distance from it myself because you don't want to get that stuff on you. It's real. There's no real one answer to get the stuff off. I've heard people say using tomato juice when it's on yourself, but I don't know if that works because I've been fortunate enough not to have ever been sprayed by a skunk.
All right, we got to keep close to those microphones.
Yeah, I would say
we're going to share them today.
If you hit it with one of your tires, there's a good chance that some of the stuff ended up under your car, up in the fender wells and stuff too. So pay close attention to those areas. You know, even behind the wheel and up in the fender wells and underneath the undercarriage of the vehicle, you really need to just blast it out. And the smells, you know, you can get most of it like that, but it's probably just going to basically have to wear off once you wash it.
All right,
but a good hot soap and water should knock most of it away. But
there's obviously a lot of economic problems happening these days. So I think there a lot of people need their cars to last longer. And some vehicles some companies are known for their cars lasting for hundreds of thousands of miles. Maybe a Volvo or a Subaru or a Toyota. You see those advertisements a lot where they talk to people about how many miles they have on their car. But there's certainly a large number that aren't known. They're getting far past 100,000 for the average owner. And I'm curious as to what you guys recommend. What are some key aspects to making this happen so that your car can go for a long, long period of time?
Well, I guess the biggest thing is just keep up on your services. I mean, oil changes are key. Whether you do it at 3,000 or 5,000, keep them at those intervals so that the oil is always being changed out. You also want to check all the tune-up items. You want to be sure your air filter and your fuel filters are being changed on a regular basis. You just want to keep things as fluid as possible on the car. You want to keep up with your tires, tire pressures, all these things like that. You know, just keeping somebody looking after the car the way it should be looked after as far as, you know, services, maintenance, anything like that. You know, it's not impossible for, you know, a car that people think is a total piece of crap, you know, to go out and, you know, get 200,000 miles out of it. And it's not known to do that. But if they take care of it, it will do that. Volvos are notoriously known for going, you know, 150,000 miles plus. We have a fellow who works in the shop. He actually owns one with over 320,000 miles on it. That's an 87 740. And the newer ones, they're getting just as much miles out of them, but people are still having to put, you still have to put the money into them to service them and take care of them. That's just the biggest thing. You know, people don't always, you know, service the vehicle the way it should be serviced. And that can hurt them in the long run if they're trying to get a pile of miles out of a car. And, you know, services are not cheap when you do the full service on some of these cars. But you can break the services down over a period of time to help the customer out. You know, do the things that are most crucial to whether or not the car runs or doesn't run. Like, the biggest thing is timing belts. Because timing belts, usually when you do them now, they're at 100,000 miles plus. So you've got to replace, usually you end up replacing all the idler pulleys, the tensioner pulleys, just so that there isn't a failure later down the road, which cause catastrophic engine failure. So we replace those things, or we recommend that they be replaced, I should say, at Edgecombs, because we have seen it happen where somebody doesn't replace a tensioner or an idler and then it fails and the timing belt breaks and causes all the valves to bend. But you can tell people, you know, that's usually included in a big service. You can tell the people, well, just do the timing belt. You can get away with, you know, not doing the whole service. We start here and then move on to the next part when you have more money. I mean, that's become a regular thing now.
But to get back to the question, I mean, driving habits, I think, has a lot to do with how long a car lasts. If you get a car brand new and you drive it the same way over its lifetime, you know, just keep driving it that way. Don't decide one day that you want to go race NASCAR and turn the engine, you know, RPMs a little higher than what it's used to doing. Because as these cars break in and get their little break-in feel to them, you know, they like that area. You know, they know their limits and they like to stay within those limits. So don't shock the system, so to speak. Just maintain your driving habits. That's where we see a lot of problems. If somebody's driving a car one way, they sell it to somebody else and they drive it in a totally different fashion. Those are the people that usually start to have problems with them, because the car is just not used to, you know, it's going out of its little boundaries that it's used to being in. So, I mean, that's something to do. But again, the most important thing, keep clean fluids in it, keep the tires good. You know, drive it like you want it to last a long time. You know, respect the car, because that's basically the most of it. Keep it serviced according to your manufacturer's, you know, recommendations.
Does anybody read
and take
those?
It to somebody that knows the car, you know, somebody that works on these cars day in and day out. They know what kind of problems that they've seen on past models or even present models, and they know what to look for. So you come in with a problem, a lot of times I'll know exactly what you're talking about your 06 Sonata as soon as you walk through the door, because I saw it on three other ones last week. You know, not saying they have a lot of problems, but, you know, keep it, get you a good mechanic that, you know, knows the car inside and out and is consistent with, you know, fixing things right on the first visit, and just, you know, somebody that's consistent. That's the main thing.
Steve mentioned, by the way, it's Steve Bullock from Edgecombs Auto, Rusty Simpre, not just from WNRN, but also Hyundai Isuzu, as we have our little car chat. Feel free to call up and ask your questions about your car if you have a problem or concern or just anything you want to talk about. 979-0919 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, WNRN Studio for the instant message on the computer screen. Steve, you mentioned changing the oil at 3,000 or 5,000 miles. So many people in the auto repair say 3,000 miles, 3,000 miles. That's what my little sticker in the window says. They changed it at 50,000 miles and now come back at 53,000 miles.
Well, what's happening now is a lot of people are using synthetic oils, and usually the interval is recommended at about 5,000 miles. They will tell you you can go as much as 15,000 on some of the synthetics. I would not even recommend getting anywhere near that. I do know some people have done it, and the engines do fail prematurely. But what I recommend is 5,000, no more than that, because that's about a safe distance now with the way most people's driving habits are now. For the most part, they're on the road more. It's not stop-and-go traffic. You know, if it's stop-and-go, yes, every 3,000. But if you're on the road more, you can go 5,000. But some, I think manufacturers, I think they're up to 7,500. Yeah, they're up to 7,500.
I can add to that point. A lot of maintenance schedules used to have, you know, what they call it, severe duty driving, which used to only be taxi cabs and police cars. Those guys, they wanted it done every 3,000 miles. And then they had maintenance schedule B, which was normal everyday driving, which did not include mountains, hot temperatures in the summer, cold temperatures in the winter. There was some place that had a consistent temperature with no mountains, no stop and go, you know, none of this stuff. But now, all I know, Hyundai has been over here to observe our area, the people from Korea, and they actually say we live in a severe duty situation with the mountains and all the stoplights in Charlottesville. So they want it done every 3,000, you know, as well. But another issue to deal with that, if you're a short trip person, if you have a 2001 car that only has 20,000 miles on it, then you need to probably change that once a year, yeah. Whether no matter how much you drive it, because those little short trips causes an abundant amount of condensation in that engine, and that's terrible. It'll sludge up, it'll rust and corrode inside that engine. So that's, you know, short trip people once a year, severe duty, you know, every 3,000. The only thing that I would consider not severe duty is like somebody who uses a car in a business and travels, say drives from here to Richmond and back every day. That's mostly like highway miles, and you can stretch it out to 7,500 on those probably, but just, you got to check it at least. If you're not going to change it, you need to at least check it and keep oil in the car. So.
Steve, I think when you mentioned timing belts, Steve Bullock from Edgecombs Auto, you mentioned timing belts. A lot of times can be done when doing another major repair. Well, right. I recently had a head gasket repaired. Should I have asked them to check or repair the timing or change out the timing belt at that time?
Yeah, definitely, because you're there.
So I already screwed it up.
Well, what kind of vehicle is it? Let me ask you that.
I'm embarrassed to announce
that. It's a Taurus. He doesn't have a belt.
You're all right. You don't have a belt.
I have a Ford Tortoise.
You don't have a timing belt.
Well, that shows you how much I know about my vehicle.
You're fine on that, but no, if some cars, you know, you can get away with not doing it.
Who has a timing belt anymore? I mean, my timing belt broke one time when I was in college on the side of 64, and let me tell you that sucked.
Yeah.
But what brand of vehicle?
Let's see, right off the top of my head, let's see, Hyundai, do they still have one?
All Hyundais have timing belts except the 06 Sonata and the Azera, the Entourage. The newer Hyundais with the V6s do not have timing belts. They switched over to chains, and the four-cylinder Sonata also has a chain. But every other Hyundai made has a belt. Other than, yeah, the Azera, the Sonata, the Entourage minivan, and the Genesis. All those are chain-driven now, so...
What about, you know, we're talking about the Ford, the Chrysler, the GM, the Toyota.
Most of the domestics do not have timing
Ford
belts.
Escort does.
The Escort may, well, yeah, but that's old. I don't know if that Focus has one or not now. Most of your European imports still carry them. A lot of the Japanese are going away from them and using timing chains now, but they still are some out there that have them. It's, you know, right off the top of my head with what we deal with, I see a lot of Subaru definitely still has timing belts, but the six-cylinder engine that they use is a timing chain driven engine.
Is it still a general rule pretty much if you have a big plastic covers on all the front of your engines that there's a belt behind that instead of an aluminum cover or case on the very front of the engine? If it's all plastic, I'm pretty sure it would have a belt. That'd be a good quick way to look and tell, but Correct me if I'm wrong.
That's about right. If you see a plastic cover on there, it's because it's easy to remove. You know, and you can get in there and look real quick and say, hey, look, you need one or you don't, you know, depending on what the time interval is or the mileage interval. Because generally the rule of thumb is go by what the book says or 10 years because it is a rubber belt and it will dry rot and will come apart.
Yes, and when it does so on the side of Interstate 64, long before cell phones were a really big deal, that sucks.
Yes, it does.
All right, 11:19 here on the Wake Up Call. Rusty Simpre, Steve Bullock here in the studio as we have our own little car chat. Dial up with your questions, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, WNRN Studio as well. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Winter weather advisory in the valley today until 3 p.m. Mostly cloudy with rain and possible sleet in the valley all through the day. Highs 40 to 45, obviously chillier over in the valley. Rain tonight, lows in the mid-30s. In the morning on Monday, rain and then clearing. Highs in the mid-40s. Warmer, mid-50s in Lynchburg and Richmond. Right now, it's not that pretty of a day. 35 in the Valley, 36 in Lynchburg, 43 in Richmond, 37 here at the WNRN studio in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support today also coming from the Ivy Inn restaurant featuring locally inspired seasonal American cuisine in an historic 18th century house on Old Ivy Road in Charlottesville. The Ivy Inn serves dinner Monday through Saturday from 5 until 9 p.m. Reservations are recommended. More can be found at ivyinnrestaurant.com. Let's see. Here's one from the WNRN studio. See if the experts believe that synthetic oil, like Mobil 1. See, these are hard to read because the computer's not near me. You got it, Rusty? See if synthetic oil like Mobil 1 is less likely to form sludge. Sorry, I completely messed that up, but my eyesight's not that good. Somebody move this monitor closer to me. No, don't worry about it. You got the point. Is synthetic oil less likely to sludge or gel than regular oil?
Well, I can tell you the experience I have with Mobil 1 because I use it in one of my vehicles, and I've never had a problem with that, and I've been using it for the last 2 years.
As long as you change it.
Yeah, you do have to change it. I change it every 5,000 miles because it is a synthetic oil. But as long as you keep it changed on a regular basis, you shouldn't have a problem with it. Now, there is a Mobil out there. They will tell you you can go 15,000 miles on it. And again, I have to emphasize, don't try this. Because for the most part, like what Rusty said, this area is a severe driving area.
But the synthetic oils cost, how much more do they cost than a regular oil? I mean, three times?
They're actually about 2 to 3 times, depending on what brand it is.
So does it last 2 to 3? Should you be driving your car 2 to 3 times longer than the cheap stuff that you can buy at one of the auto supply stores?
I'm not going to tell you to do that.
Well, I mean, but as a serious question, if Rick's brand of motor oil cost you $3 a quart and the majority of auto repair places will tell you that it's okay to drive that for 3,000 miles.
Oh, yeah, I definitely keep going that way. I mean, most of the oils out there, as long as it's got the government seal on it, you know, and if you're buying it off the bottles, and almost all the places I know that, you know, sell oil as far as to put in cars, it is a quality oil, whether it be, you know, from a Pennzoil, Mobil, or Valvoline, or whoever, it is a quality oil that they're sticking in the car because, well, one, they've got to back up anything that happens to the car. If the oil isn't holding up, they'll be putting engines in cars left and right. But if you're going into the store, as long as it's got that government seal on the bottle stating it's an API rating, as long as it's there, there's nothing wrong with the oil. Now, and sometimes, now, years ago, Quaker State had a problem, and this is a long time ago. They had a problem with their oil actually gelling up inside the cars. they don't have that problem now, as far as I know. But that was years and years ago. But if you get if you're going into a place and you see the oil is like $1, and every other bottle of oil is like, you know, $3, you know, I might put that in my lawnmower. I don't know that I'd put that in my car.
Caveat emptor. Got to watch out what you pay for. You get the discount.
Right. But to get back to the question, I don't know about sludge factor. Sludge factor is usually caused by not changing it, not really the quality of the oil.
And this, because
everything is API
said,
rated now, but
said Mobil 1.
Yeah, Mobil 1's good stuff. I do have a friend who actually is part of this radio station as well, and he's about every 10,000 on Mobil 1 on his little car, and he's got about 130,000 on it now, and he's been about every 10,000. I fuss at him all the time, but he's been lucky with it. I'm not saying I approve of it, but he has had good luck with Mobil 1 synthetic oil. So that's the main thing. Keep it changed, keep it full, keep it clean, you know, and you should not have a sludge factor. So.
All right, here's a call that we got, questioned from someone who didn't want to go on air, anonymous from Madison, which ties into a couple of the other things that that I want to get into. Key thing to look for when buying a used car, because if we talk about the economic factor again, about trying to get your car to go for a longer period of time, and I think most people are aware that the sales figures for new cars are dropping, it seems like I would assume that the sales figures for used cars would go up a little bit, as well as the number of people trying to extend the life of the car they already have. So the person from Madison County, key things to look for when buying used vehicles.
A lot of key things. Of course, the big thing now with everybody is Carfax, but that's not 100% to my understanding. The only thing you can really get from a Carfax is who owned it. If it was crashed or whatever, the only way you're going to know it's crashed is if it was ever reported to the insurance company. That gets recorded in your Carfax. Carfax is like, what, $20 or something to run them, but most dealerships will do it for free for you, just as a selling point to show you that, hey, this is the Carfax on it. It helps in some instances, but again, it's not 100%. Get the car out in some nice bright sunshine and look at the paint real close. No one can paint perfect as a factory. Any body shop that does repair work, there's always at least some kind of dirt in the paint, or you can see tape marks where this was taped off and got a little overspray on it. You know, look for factors like that. If it has any paint work, then you need to ask whoever's selling it, hey, how bad was this car torn up? I get them on the lift every day and see these new little stickers on the steering components underneath the vehicle, which mean it was hit pretty hard to do serious, you know, suspension damage. If I was to buy a car and didn't have the education I had, I would actually ask that person, hey, can I take this to my mechanic? Let's get this thing in the air. Let me look it over real good before I make a decision on whether I want to purchase it or not. In the meantime, drive it, leave the radio off, listen for any funny screwy noises, you know, see if it pulls real bad. When you let go of the steering wheel, then, you know, that's an indication of a tire issue or an alignment issue. Receipts, maintenance records, that's a big thing now, even with Hyundai and Isuzu. If you don't have maintenance records, a lot of them do not want to cover the warranty on your vehicle, so that's a very key thing now, is to keep, even if you buy your own oil and do it yourself, save your receipts from your oil and filter purchase, write the mileage down on the receipt, or, you know, most vehicles come with the owner's manual that you can jot down every time the car was serviced, and, you know, just keep a good record. That's something to look at. If, you know, pull the stick out, if the dipstick is all black and crusty looking, that thing is sludged up inside and it has not been serviced. The dipstick should be an indication of how clean the inside of the engine is. If you got a nice clean dipstick, that thing, you know, some people could pull the stick out and clean all the stuff off of it too. But, you know, if it's somebody you trust and you're buying a car, or, you know, look at the stick. Look down in the radiator. If it's all full of mud, you know, the thing hadn't been serviced properly. But, I mean, it's a lot. It's a big list of things you could look at. But mainly look at the paint. Look at the body panels. Make sure they're in line. Make sure the doors open and close without binding, or the gaps in between the doors and the fenders. Carfax.
Is there a website that you can go to, not necessarily about the individual car you're looking for, but a website that you guys are aware of that says, here are the 50 things that you should check?
No, not really. No, this is just from
the
self-experience.
The used car,
well, we do
purchasing
a checklist.
Guideline.
We do it. We have checklists at Price, you know, where we go through a used car and do 90-point safety inspection to go through everything. And that's how we, you know, we actually check each of these items, and that's how we deem the car to be a certified used car, because it's been through a pretty rigorous checklist there. We test drive them, you know, if we see any issues, we present that to management. Hey, it's going to cost us to fix it. It's yes, go ahead, or no, don't, you know, because sometimes some cars, even we get in, they're going to cost more to repair them than what the dealership's going to make off of them. So then they just go to the wholesale lot, which that's where the everyday Joe is probably going to find a car, at a used car lot that we've deemed not worthy of prices standards to sell the car. But
when you talk about the wholesale car lot, what is that?
We sell our cars wholesale to Joe Blow's used car lot down the street, and then he'll recondition it and do, he'll put a little bit of money in it, enough for him to sell it, make some money off of, to where if we were going to fix it to our standards, we would have to, it would cost us too much money to get it to where it really needs to be a good, dependable used car. So, I mean, it's just the way they do business. They sell, you know, because we got one or two used car dealers that come and buy all our crappy used cars that we don't want to deal with, and then, you know, they get them, and who knows where they go from there. If they can't sell them, then they go to the auction. But yeah, just, you know, just be conscious of the paint in the body panels. And I was, had something else in my mind, but Rick changed the subject there and kind of blew me away. But
I do that a lot. Sarah, yeah, claims that I should shut up and let the
I'll think about it here in a minute. You got anything to add, Steven?
Yeah, the only thing I'd say is that, you know, the one thing Rusty did touch on and say, get the car checked out.
That's
If they say they won't let you check the car out, walk away. You know, because if it's worth anything, you know, and they're trying to make a sale and they want the car gone, then they're willing to stand behind it. But always, I mean, whoever you trust, whether it be a dealer, an independent, get the car to somebody and let them look it over, because there are things that, you know, you can't always see unless the car is in the air.
New inspection sticker.
And always look for, you know, a new inspection sticker, or one that's not that old, you know, between 3 and 6 months. You know, anything older than 6 months, it's been sitting on the lot a while, or it may not have been done. You know, they may have bought the car with a decent sticker on it. You know, sometimes that happens.
I just remember my other point. If the car is not that, well, it doesn't really matter on the age, but most dealerships, if you're looking to buy a used car, you can actually take the serial number, the vehicle identification number off your registration or title, or even jot it down off the car, take it to the dealer, whether it be Toyota, Subaru, Volvo, GM,
whoever.
They can run that VIN number through a computer and tell you, like, the warranty repair history on the vehicle, and you can actually see what kind of issues that the original owner was having with the car, which may be an indication of why they're getting rid of it. So that'd be something else to look into as well. And you always got your J.D. Power. You always got your crash test. You know, look into that too. See what kind of ratings the car have before you purchase it, whether you feel comfortable with their results or not. But like I say, there's a big list of things that you could do. But just be careful. That's the main thing.
11:30 here on the Wake Up Call with our version of Car Chat. And see a question coming in. Don't forget, it is Steve Bullock here from the Charlottesville Edgecombs Auto Sales and Service, Rusty Simpre from the area, Price Hyundai Isuzu. Take advantage of these guys and their knowledge. How long have you guys been doing what you're doing?
I've been doing it for 16 years now as a ASC master.
Rusty?
pushing 29 years. Independence, GM dealerships, Ford dealerships, now Hyundai Isuzu. So, been around a while.
All right, we got a call. We got Carl from Stanton. Hey, Carl.
How you doing?
Doing well. You got a question for these guys?
Yeah, I got a 98 Chevy pickup truck, and I got about 205,000 miles on it now. And the question I got for you is, I just had to put another water pump in it. I had to put one in it about 5 years ago. And somebody was telling me that if that keeps happening, that I possibly might have a head gasket blown. Is that correct, or is that not?
A water pump, probably not. What's probably going on is the water pump just probably failed. That's not unusual to see a water pump go about every 5 years. If you had a head gasket blown, usually what happens is that the radiator will be the first thing to go. It'll just blow out the sides, usually in particular on that truck. And I doubt you have any kind of head gasket problem. Now, they will...
If he drove it low, though, he could end up with a head gasket.
Yeah, if it's been driven low on coolant, chances are it can come up with a head gasket problem. The other thing that that vehicle had a problem with is the intake gaskets used to leak on them in the corners. And they'd leak coolant, and you didn't always see it because it would go down the back of the motor down by the transmission housing. And a lot of times the exhaust would actually burn it up. And you'd sometimes smell burnt antifreeze every now and again.
Oh, yeah, I do that.
Yeah, if you're getting that, what you do is you take a flashlight and just look in the corners of the intake over on the right side of the car. That's usually where it leaked. And you might see a little trace of coolant going down either in the very front of the engine or maybe down the back. You may not be able to see it unless you have a mirror to see the back of it.
Does it end up in the oil too, Steve? Or?
Yeah, it can't. Now, that's the other thing. Check your oil and make sure it's not getting milky.
No,
because
it's not doing that.
All right, then you're okay. It's just leaking to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And they were notorious for that. And the gaskets actually have been updated by General Motors and Felpro. They are a lot better gasket than what they were. They've also updated the torque ratings on them because that's what was going on with them at the time. They were being torqued too much, and it was cracking the gasket because the gasket is actually plastic with a rubber insert. But
one other question. With that many miles on it, is it worth it for me to have that fixed, or is the engine, you think, still okay?
Well, I'll tell you this much. I have a 97 GMC with about the same amount of miles on it.
Uh-huh.
And one, the labor doesn't cost me anything. I just pay for parts. I just put head gaskets on mine, and I'm still driving around on it with no problems.
Mm-hmm.
But how much for intake job?
Yeah, intake job will run you between, usually about, depending on where you go, between $450 and $700 is about what it costs.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Alrighty, well, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, right. Carl.
Appreciate your time.
11:33 here on the wake up call. Dial us up 979-0919 1-877-WNRN Rocks. We got our little version of Car Chat. Dial up with your question about your car and any problems that you're having. Let me thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support. Blue Ridge has winter clothing from Patagonia, Mountain Hardware, and the North Face, as well as trail shoes from Montrail, Merrill, and Vask. The Blue Ridge staff has over 30 years of experience in keeping you warm and dry in any weather. You can find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barrack Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. They're at Wintergreen in Richmond and at brms.com. 979-0919 is open. The toll-free line is taken up right now. I got another question, Steve. Anonymous person from Charlottesville. How long should we expect a battery to last on a hybrid?
Ooh, that's a good question. Being they haven't been out that long, I really can't say. I've dealt with them very limited. That's more of a question that you'd really have to call and ask a dealer, I hate to say. And they may not even know.
Have there been, are you guys aware of particular companies that have a hybrid battery that is so far is lasting longer than someone else?
The only one that I can see right now that is not having as many problems would, I'd have to say, be the Prius from Toyota. But, you know, that's the one vehicle that they've sold a pile of them here in the last 2 years because of the fuel costs.
They still have a waiting list.
Really? Yeah.
All right, let me take this call because this gentleman's on the road. Sonny?
Yes, sir.
Are you there? Question for these guys. You are on air.
Yes.
Ask your question.
I'm on my way from Charleston, West Virginia to Richmond, and my wife just called me. She has a 2007 Grand Prix. It has, I want to say, 26,000 miles. She called me and said the low oil light came on. I had my son run down there and look at it. And there was hardly any oil on the dipstick. He checked around. There's no sign of leakage or anything. Could this be a warranty item that she needs to get in? Or he said he had to put 2.5 quarts in it to bring it back up to the full mark.
Yeah, that definitely needs to go back to the dealer and let them check it out. They'll start with by doing what they call an oil consumption test.
Right.
And basically what that involves is they're going to want to change the oil and fill it to the full mark the way it should be done. And then what they're going to do is ask that you bring it back and have them monitor it. And if they see any deviation on it, you know, within, you know, whatever amount of miles they give, then there is something going on. But if you're losing that kind of oil, you know, it could be any of a number of things internally.
Okay, because see, that's what I was wondering, because we've got that OnStar with it, and it sends us signals telling us, you know, it's time for an oil change or your oil's low. And she checked her email, and it showed, you know, hey, you got low oil. But we just didn't know if it should be something that should, you know, get in since it's still under warranty.
Oh, absolutely.
All righty. Appreciate it, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Sonny.
Uh-huh.
All right. You can dial us up as well. You don't have to be at home. You can be on the road. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. And Sonny, please have a safe drive from Charleston, West Virginia to Richmond. Here's the question that came in. And we were talking about, you know, how to buy a used car. And I know that you guys, Rusty working for Hyundai Isuzu, Steve working at Edgecombe's Auto, so do your best to be fair as you can. My daughter just turned 16, and I want to buy her a safe but trendy car. Suggestions?
Well, I can tell you, safety-wise, I hate to say it, but one of the cars we work on is probably the safest thing on the road. Trendy is all in a matter of what you call trendy. Most things I'd be looking at is more along the lines on whether or not it's going to break down and safety. For that, you're going to have to go to like Consumer Report and stuff like that and look at what's there. Generally here lately, the imports have been the ones ruling that market. There are a few domestic lines out there that are starting to come up to par, but for the most part, they're going to be in there. I will say this. I have seen just Volvos take a beating and the people get out of them and walk away from them with minor cuts and injuries, and, you know, and the car is totaled. I mean, that I can tell you from my personal experience with the car. But I have also seen other cars that can do that too. The car will come up total, but that's what they're supposed to do now. They're supposed to basically fold in on themselves and save the people inside. Consumer Report's going to be the best thing on that. And also taking your teenage daughter out there and letting her drive these cars, or you drive the car and let her see if she's comfortable in it. That's more than anything else, is finding out if the driver is going to be comfortable. Because if they're not comfortable, it's not going to be a good car for them anyway.
Is 5-star the best crash rating you can get? Because
I'm
not up on crash ratings, but I know that's a big selling point. And I've seen some of the Kias that probably sells have 5-star crash rating. A lot of the Hyundais have a 5-star crash rating, but that's a lot of it has to do with best in class, which they compare Hyundais and other vehicles with other makes and models, and it's usually a domestic model that they are comparing it to. And so that's not all 100% either, but I'm pretty sure the more stars on the rating, the better the crash scenario would be. But, not trying to sell Hyundais or Kias, but if trendy, that's the tricky part of that question, because, you know, SUVs, they were the big trend, and now it's like everybody wants gas mileage plus safety, and that's going to be a tough one to have to really put her in anything that's really super safe and small that gets good gas mileage. So I don't know. I'd probably go with something halfway midsize, you know, whether it be a Camry or Elantra or
Accord.
Honda. Hondas, they're usually pretty good.
Or if you're looking at the GM, it'd be the Malibu or the Pontiac. Well, they've come up pretty good in the safety ratings.
Something
mid-size. I wouldn't go for a compact, and SUVs, a lot of times people are not comfortable in to drive, at least.
Right. We hope that helped. Thanks for your call.
I see the line coming in right now, 979-0919. Should be ready in just a moment. 1-877-WNRN Rocks. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's a toll free number. 979-0919. Rusty Sempre from Price Hyundai Isuzu. Steve Bullock, Edgecombe Auto Sales and Service. And we have Michelle from Richmond. Hey, Michelle.
Hi. It's good to hear all y'all. I am looking to get a new vehicle, and I really like the Versa by Nissan, but I also like the Forester, and I don't like the Nissan being so close to the ground, just for getting around, you know, and being out in the country sometimes. And I'm wondering, what are the implications, and how many millions of dollars is it, and does it affect the warranty if you got a Versa and had it raised up a little bit? Crazy?
I couldn't.
I'm going to let these guys answer and let you listen. Thanks.
I really couldn't tell you. It's hard to say because the Versa, I think, has only been out a couple years, and I've really never seen one picked up off the ground, to be honest with you. And I believe it is, for the most part, a car chassis underneath. Because I've only seen a couple of them. You know, if you're looking for something where you got to have a little bit of ground clearance, you're definitely going to be having to look at what the something bigger in the what they call the crossover market, if that's what you're looking at. Because that sounds like with the Versa and the Forester, that's pretty much what they are. They're crossover vehicles. They're not technically SUVs. Or you could look at a smaller SUV if you need the ground clearance. Like I say, there's a lot of different ones out there right now that, you know, sit up higher. I think General Motors, I think their big thing is, I think they call it an Arcadia, and they've got, Chevrolet's got a new one, Pontiac's got one. There's a couple of them out there that, you know, really and truly, they sit up higher, but I don't know as far as how, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for here? How, can't think of what I'm trying to say with it. It just how much use you would actually get out of it, what it would be really good for other than just ground clearance.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for calling in. I can also add something. If you want to buy a vehicle and actually raise it up, you are going to just demolish the vehicle's warranty. That's a major no-no. So definitely look at something that suits your needs for being, you know, as much ground clearance as you need. Because if you get to modifying suspensions and bodies, the manufacturer really frowns upon that because you can actually accelerate your tire wear. You can put excessive stress on axles and chassis components by raising the vehicle up. So I do know that that's, if that's where your question was coming from, I'm pretty sure it was. But yeah, that's a major no-no to do modifications to the vehicle until after the warranty has expired. Then you're welcome to do what you want. But still, you'll be putting a lot of stress on some of these components. So I would find something that sits up, you know, to the level that you need it to sit up, and just go from there.
All right, 11:45 here on the Wake Up Call as we have Steve Bullock and Rusty Simpre here. Local, long-time automobile repairman. Call up, ask your question, see what we can do here to help you with your questions, your comments. 11:45.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
The uncertain fate of his planned 9-story landmark hotel on Charlottesville's downtown mall isn't the only financial problem for internet millionaire Halsey Miner. His troubled purchases in art, real estate, and thoroughbred racehorses add to his personal frown. Once the $7.5 million rebricking of the downtown mall is complete this spring, Charlottesville's city planners want to make sure the restaurant's trash won't ruin the atmosphere. But new solutions bring new problems. And just how much of a sale was found at the Everything Must Go shutdown of the local Circuit City? Apparently not much. The Hook. Read all warnings and directions before use. And let me thank 45fix.com for their support today. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no-obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. Okay, here's another question that we got. I'm a girl, and I feel silly. What is a tune-up in comparison to an oil change? I've had my car for several years and never had the tune-up. Am I being foolish?
Well, it depends on how many miles are on it at this point. A tune-up, if the car, depending on the age of it, if it's been made probably in about the last 10 years, they've been using what the platinum plugs. And what most people say for as far as recommendations on them is 100,000 miles. It's what most manufacturers say. So every now and again, some of them will say 60. If the car is, I'd say, older than 5 years old, I would say, and you've never done a tune-up. A tune-up involves an air filter, a fuel filter, spark plugs, spark plug wires, if it has them, if it's a severe enough condition, but not always. If you're just doing oil changes, most places that do oil changes will at least check your air filter. They may or may not do anything to let you know whether or not your fuel filter should be changed. But it's something that, you know, you really need to think about doing, especially it can help with fuel mileage, because a fuel filter will get stopped up and it will cause a car to run poorly. Same with an air filter. If it's not changed regularly, it gets stopped up, the car will run poorly and use more gas. I hope that helps you out. That's about really all the differences between an oil change and tune-up.
Yeah, just oil changes. You know, you change your oil, your filter. We usually check our tire pressures and all, fill all your other fluids, lube everything if it has lube, you know, grease fittings in the suspension. That's an oil change. Generally, anywhere between $20 and $35 is the going rate on an oil change. Where tune-up, depending on how many cylinders you have, which is, you know, you've got 4-cylinder cars, 6-cylinder cars, 8-cylinder cars, depending on, you know, each cylinder has a spark plug, so you're going to have to replace your spark plugs and all your other filters. Some cars actually require a valve adjustment as well. If it's a, you know, an older car, which is part of tune-up, that makes the engine last longer to keep the valves in specs. And that can, some of those can get involved and run up, you know, several hundred dollars. But oil change, basically, you know, between $20 and $35. So hope we were able to help, and thank you for calling.
979-0919 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. You can also send the instant message WNRNstudio@AOL.com. That's we've already had a couple of questions come through that way as well. All right, my question, Steve, I always have some problem with my car. I've never been the guy who had the beautiful car that lasts forever. The driver's seatbelt, it keeps getting twisted, so it doesn't, you know, sometimes it just doesn't roll back like it's supposed to. I have to, you know, sit there and kind of slowly feed it back into its spot. What do I do about that?
Well, one thing you can do is get the, it's what they call a silicone spray lube, and you spray that actually on the belt.
Both sides
of it, and what that'll do is...
Pull it all the way out.
Yep, yeah. Pull it all the way out, spray both sides of the belt. Just give it a chance and it'll let it retract right back in, and give it about 5-10 minutes before you use it so you don't stain your clothes, because that stuff, it dries, you know, when about that period of time. And what it does, it just gives a little bit of lubricating property to the belt itself and every surface that it contacts, so that now when you pull the belt out, it should just come out real easy and go back in even easier.
When you talk about the silicone, are you talking about WD?
No. This stuff, it's just most, there's a bunch of different manufacturers of it, but it's just called silicone spray lube.
I'll bring you a can next time I come for lunch. How about that?
Oh, wow. See, it helps to have people that you know around here. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Rusty Simpre from Price Hyundai Isuzu, Steve Bullock, Edgecombs Auto Sales and Service. Feel free to dial us up. About 8 minutes left. If I dial us up, ask your question about any problems you may be having. What kind of car do your wives drive? And what do you do to keep the cars your family has as safe as possible?
My wife has, she has three choices to drive every day. We have five cars. But the car she's been driving mainly is a 1997 Chevy Lumina that I purchased here a little while back. The car that she had before that was a 94 Corolla, and the other vehicle that she uses is an 01 Tahoe. All I do with them is I basically keep track of my maintenance and make sure that everything is done the way it should be. I rotate the tires every 6,000 miles. That way I see whether or not it needs brakes. And just follow the maintenance records that are in the manual. That's really all there is to it to keep the vehicles up and running properly. and that keeps them safe as well. And plus you just follow, you know, general safety stuff, you know, making sure everything like seat belts and all the safety stuff just works.
Yeah, my wife has a 2007 Isuzu Ascender. Isuzu had some leftover 07, so of course the fine folks out there at Price made me a real deal on one. So before that, it was a 04 Hyundai Elantra that was kind of small for our needs that we need as far as vacation stuff goes. So put her in an Ascender. It's pretty nice. Oldest daughter, 99 Ford Escort wagon with a gazillion miles on it that I've had zero trouble out of. And youngest daughter, 1995 Geo Prism. That's the one I had to, last day I took off Bluegrass, I actually had to go down to Lynchburg in Liberty University's parking lot and put an alternator on it that kind of let her down in Lynchburg. So I got her back home all in one day. So everything was pretty peachy. But yeah, I've had good success out of a variety of vehicles there. But that is definitely the key, is to keep the fluids changed, keep the tires pumped up, and just keep on rolling.
All right, let's see. We have Sadie from Charlottesville. Hi, Sadie.
Hi, guys.
Question, comment?
Yeah, I used to own a Volvo, and there used to be this big, strong, hulking mechanic that used to work on it. Steve Bullock.
Yeah.
He was hot.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm sure that you just made him feel extra
good. Go, Steve!
Oh, well, thank you, Sadie. There are time for another question or two if somebody would like to call up. And ask a question rather than just make a comment about the sexiness. I mean, for those of you who weren't sure about just how wonderful the man behind that voice was, now you know. Sadie shares that information with you. 979-0919. We do have time for another question or two. Dial us up. Take advantage of some free auto repair information here. 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Let me take a moment and thank Blue Ridge Graphics for being here with us today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And not that you would, but just a few minutes up at noon, Drew Thompson is here for Les Temps Purdue. It's the best of 80s and 90s alternative. No Madonna, no Steve Winwood or Metallica, but you will hear The Wallflowers, Juliana Hatfield, and Pavement. And Drew likes requests. Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, looks like we got a call coming in. It's not Sadie again, is it? All right, we got Dan from Charlottesville. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. Question?
Yeah, I've got a full-size spare on my Jeep, and I was wondering if I can rotate that tire into my tire rotation schedule. Yeah. That, you know, I don't have to buy, well, so when I buy new tires, I don't have a brand new tire on the back of the Jeep.
Yeah, you can rotate that tire in the mix. The way you usually do it is that you take one of the wheels off the front and put that as your spare, and start the spare off in the rear, and you just keep on mixing out whatever tire you took off the front. You just keep on mixing that out.
So it doesn't matter which side it's on or anything like that?
No, it won't matter which side it's on. It's just keep the pattern going once it's started in the same fashion. That way it's always an even amount of wear on the tire.
All right. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
I was going to ask if the wheel matched, because a lot of it is.
Just a moment or two left. If somebody has one last question that we can take for you, 11:57 here on the Wake Up Call. Dial us up, 979-0919. There goes a call, Sean. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Guys, while we wait for that last question to come through, and it is November 30th, so we're about to hit colder weather. I asked you earlier about making sure that you things to be done, but suggestions for anybody out there, things that really need that are often overlooked at this time of year?
Something to just drives me up the wall as I walk through any parking lot, whether it be Walmart, whether it be Forest Lakes Market, anywhere. I see people with 5 and 6 month expired inspection stickers. Today is the end of the month, so look on your windshield. If it has 11/08 on it, your inspection runs out tonight. If it's 10/9 or 8, then it's already expired. And, you know, it really irks me that my kids and wife are on the road with vehicles that have not been properly inspected or inspected on time. I really do appreciate the state inspection program. So, you know, let's just be responsible. Get your car inspected. It's only $16 to check your car over, and it's well worth every penny of that. But, yeah, as far as wintertime, wiper blades, make sure they're good. Clean your windshields. I'll get
it,
you know.
Let's take this last call so we can squeeze it in. All right, we got Leroy. Hey.
Hey.
Leroy.
Hey.
Real quick.
I was looking for a 73 Ford Palestine Pump Ford pickup, 150. That's what I need real bad. Ain't nobody got none nowhere. Might have to find it for an old custom deal or something. The old show cars.
All right, we only got a few minutes left, so I'm going to hang up and let him talk about it.
I'll tell you, one place that you can call and find it real quick is probably going to be a place called Leon's. And it's up in it's up around Culpeper.
Madison Culpeper line.
If he hasn't got it, then nobody in Central Virginia's got it. That's the best person I can tell you to call.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate you coming in. Lots of good questions. I appreciate the folks who called up and who gave me questions through the internet and gave me one or two before I came in today.
All right.
Rusty Simprey.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
Steve Bullock. Thank you so much, guys. Happy happy December.
See you next week.
Drew Thompson up next.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.